House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is April 2nd, 2015. First item on the agenda is a work session on House Bill 2660.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 2660 comes to us from Representative Olson and Senator Przanski. The bill allows court discretion in ordering an ignition interlock device in driving under the influence of intoxicants cases if the defendant submitted to a chemical test of their breath or blood and the result was less than a 0.10 by weight, and it provides certain exemptions if the result of the test was a 0.00 by weight. It is the Dash 3 amendments that are before us today. The amendments state that where a test disclosed a breath or blood result of a 0.08 or greater, or any case where there is a combination of a controlled substance and alcohol present, the court would require an ignition interlock device. The Dash 3 amendments provide court discretion in ordering a device for cases where the result is less than a 0.08 by weight, and there are no controlled substances present. And we're ready to move on the Dash 3.
Mr. Chair, thank you for giving me a day to review the amendments. I appreciate that.
All right, Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments into House Bill 2660.
Representative Williams moves the Dash 3 amendment into House Bill 2660. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
You know, Mr. Chair, I just want to say thanks to Representative Greenlick because he did catch what brought us to the Dash 3 amendments on that bill. So thank you, sir.
Smart guy.
Representative G.
Thank you, Commander.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2660 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
The amendment moves House Bill 2660 with as amended with the Dash 3s to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Are there any? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm almost there, but not quite. So I just want to let you know that, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to support this bill today. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton.
Nope.
Representative Greenland.
Yes.
Representative Wagner.
Yes.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Post.
No.
Representative Springer.
No.
Vice Chair Williamson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair Barker.
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Olson will be the carrier, please. Open a public hearing on, we'll talk slow here, House Bill 2557.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 2557A comes to this committee from Representatives Greenlick, Barnhart, Frederick, Vega Peterson, Williamson, and Senator Gelser. It came out of the House Committee on Healthcare with this A engrossed version. The bill creates a process where people can get a guilty accept or responsibility accept insane adjudication expunged from their record if that same offense would be expungible under the adult or youth statutes. There's no revenue and a minimal fiscal. It is ready to move.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, please. Representative?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a public hearing, right?
Yes. We're still in hearing.
Thank you. I'm State Representative Mitch Greenlick. Thank you for hearing this bill. It came to our committee circuitously. We had it in a different form. We had a public hearing. We testified on it. We found out at that public hearing that we wanted to make an amendment to it. To add responsible accept, and it turned out that the whole bill as written didn't fit its own relating clause. So it turned out I had a bill with the right relating clause, and healthcare committee, we stuffed it into it, made the corrections, and brought it back. Basically, it's a simple idea. If you're convicted of a crime, there are circumstances under which you can ask for expungement. But if you were found guilty except for insanity or responsible except for insanity, there was no vehicle to get that off your record. So it just seemed fair to make the same circumstances for GEI and REI as for a convicted felon. There's been no opposition. We work very closely with PSRB to get the wording right and to make sure that it related in the same way it would have for a convicted felon.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for a representative? Thank you, Representative. Now call Juliet Britton, Bob Dundep, and Gail Meyer, please.
Chair Barker, Vice Chairs Olson and Williamson, members of the committee, I'm Juliet Britton, Executive Director of the Psychiatric Security Review Board. As Representative Greenlick stated earlier, this bill provides an opportunity for those who are found guilty except for insanity or responsible of certain offenses to request expungement under certain conditions. The bill is intended to allow those individuals who are healthy and stable in their recovery, who have little, if any, prior criminal or GEI history, to request removal of the GER/REI that exists in their arrest record and criminal history. House Bill 2557 is analogous to the statutory provision found in ORS 137.225, and it allows for expungement of the same felony conviction. As you can imagine, even if certain clients are doing well for an extended period of time, the GEI finding and arrest record in their criminal histories can cause significant barriers to housing and employment. Both housing and employment are known to mitigate risk to future mental health decompensation and destabilization. This bill recognizes that a GEI finding is distinguishable from a criminal conviction, which is also supported by several case law set forth by the Oregon Court of Appeals. The law is clear that when a defendant is found GEI, it is not considered a conviction for any purpose. There is one matter that I'd like to raise in that as drafted, even records maintained by the state hospital, the PSRB State Hospital Review Panel, or county mental health agencies would have to seal their records. This committee may want to consider adding a provision that would allow those records to be reopened if the individual were to re-enter the mental health system or criminal justice system. Many of these records contain significant and important clinical histories and risk assessments that can help these various agencies continue to treat the client in the unlikely event that they were to re-enter the mental health systems. If you have any questions, I'll turn it over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, Gail Meyer, on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, we want to thank Representative Greenlick and the other co-sponsors of the bill. This always struck us as a fundamental unfairness that this group of people were not eligible to have petitions set aside, even considered, and we never quite knew why they had been eliminated, and so we're very happy to see this addressed. The after effect of these findings, similarly as to convictions, impact people down the road in their reentry efforts so much. You can't even get professional licenses as being a hairdresser if you have a felony conviction. So immigration consequences, housing consequences, for student living dormitory situations, it goes on and on and on. I would like to say the following. The Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association has been in a four-year negotiation process with the District Attorney's Association on rewriting the expungement statute at large. We've been trying to de-Frankenstein it because it reads very poorly, and we've been trying to do a trade. And so I just this morning met with Jeff Howes with the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. We're really, really close on coming to a final negotiated revised expungement statute. It would impact in one small measure one of the provisions of this bill relating to prior violations that might exclude someone's eligibility. Basically, right now, if you have a finding of GEI, this bill would say that you have to have been compliant and free for 3 years before you can file a petition. And then, similarly with convictions, you also have to have a 10-year retrospective review in that they have to have been free from any violations within the 10 years. That part has been subject to these negotiations. I only forecast for the chair and for the sponsor that ultimately, when we come to a final negotiated agreement, there may be some minor adjustments to the language in this bill. But I think it's premature at this point to propose them because the negotiations are not final yet. Does that make any sense? Yeah? Okay. But thank you.
In that case, we could certainly handle it over in the Senate where that agreement's being made.
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bob Junedeff. I'm the Director of Disability Rights Oregon. I, too, want to thank Representative Greenlick and those who've worked on this bill, which in our view is just a matter of simple justice, is that if people do end up in the state hospital as a result of a GEI, that they have an incentive and an opportunity to pursue their recovery in the hospital and outside the hospital, and if they are successful in doing that, stay out of trouble with the criminal justice system, that having to deal with the additional barriers of discrimination in housing, employment, and in other aspects of life just make that more difficult. I just note that one can read the dash ones differently. Our reading of the dash ones when I undertook it was that the fact of the GEI would be in effect expunged, but underlying clinical records, say at the hospital, would not be. And so there may be some area of uncertainty on that particular point. But certainly the point that it's simple justice to allow individuals to recover and reenter society and demonstrate that they can be successful is something that we should support.
Thank you. Any questions from the panel? Thank you.
Thank you.
I think those are both simple amendments. If it turns out, it'd be easy to handle in the Senate. I mean, the expungement, maybe we have to find out what the Senate's doing. Otherwise, we don't know how to change it. So it would make sense to have it in the same committee if they're going to do that. The sealing of records, you can check it, get an LC on whether they really think it is an issue.
Eric will watch it.
I'm keeping the bill on both sides. So
we can go ahead and move it today. Then.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. The paperwork's okay. In. It's ready. It's just the A.
All right. I lost my paper. All right.
2557.
Oh, no.
Close the public hearing. Open a work session. House Bill 2557. A.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2557A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2557A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We've heard some discussion where there are some issues, and we're already starting to run out of time. This session, I mean, we're starting to see things ball up, so we're going to go ahead. I would propose that we move this today, and we will keep the Senate informed of the changes that appear to be necessary and hope we'll get that resolved there. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to moving the bill? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Greenlick, would you?
Thank you.
Yes. Call the committee back to order. So we have a work session. I'll open a work session on House Bill 2341.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, this bill came from the House Interim Judiciary Committee. Courts already have authority to impose extradition costs for the underlying criminal trial. This bill, with the dash two amendments, authorizes the court to order those fees for extradition on probation violations so long as the person left the state without the permission of the court. It also defines what specific account the extradition funds go into. It is ready to move with the dash two amendments.
Could the defendant opt to take the Greyhound bus?
The cheapest mode possible.
Yeah. If he comes back on his own, he can.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments into House Bill 2341.
S2s? Representative Williams moves the dash two amendments into House Bill 2341. Mm-hmm. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none,
so ordered. Move it to the. I think you just moved it into the bill.
Yeah, dash two.
Yeah, we moved it to the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2341 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2341 with the dash two amendments to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
We'll carry it.
Representative Williamson will be the carrier. Open a work session on House Bill 2349.
Chair Barker, members of the committee. House Bill 2349, you heard on March 5th. This bill deals with professional fiduciaries. It extends the information that professional fiduciary must disclose to a court in their annual petition for appointment or their petition for appointment in their annual report. It includes the disclosure of investment credentials and licensing of any professional fiduciary or employee of the fiduciary. If the fiduciary is not an individual, the original version of the bill clarified that a professional fiduciary may be a business entity and is not limited to individuals. You have the proposed dash two amendments in front of you, which remove that person designation. It includes an acknowledgement that a professional fiduciary will make all investments in accordance with the Uniform Prudent Investor Act and clarifies what sort of information about investment credentials and licensing are required of the professional fiduciary in their reports. It has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. It is ready to move with the dash two amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2349. I move the dash two amendments into House Bill 2349.
Representative Williamson moves the dash two amendments into House Bill 2349. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2349 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves House Bill 2349 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Once again, is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Leininger, will you carry that for us, please?
I would like to. Thank you.
Opening work session on House Bill 2392.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, you heard 2392 on March 10th. This deals with SNAP benefits, supplemental nutritional assistance programs, and the cards that are issued for those benefits. House Bill 2392 requires the name of all authorized recipients to be on the card. You have proposed dash two amendments which remove that requirement that they be on all cards, but if a card is issued for a reported loss or a replacement card, then the new card should have the name of the individual for whom the replacement card was issued. We have a fiscal statement on this. The bill has a referral to the Committee on Ways and Means, and it is ready to go with the dash two amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 2392.
Representative Williamson moves the adoption of the dash two amendments in House Bill 2392. Are there any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2392 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2392 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and then on to the Committee of Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Open a work session on House Bill 2393.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, this is another bill that deals with the Department of Human Services. This one requires the Oregon State Lottery Commission to develop and operate a data matching system with the Oregon Health Authority and the Department of Human Services to identify people who have received overpayment of public assistance and who have won prizes of more than $600 in lottery winnings. The measure requires the lottery to check the names of people claiming prizes of over $600 against the database and to place a hold on any names that come up with a match. Match is made, payment is held, notification is given to the individual and to the affected agency, which then has 30 days to initiate garnishment. We also have a proposed dash one amendment, which expands the bills to include overpayment for supplemental nutrition assistance or any other benefit from the state. And it specifies that the payment of past due child support takes priority over the recovery of overpayment of assistance. We have heard from fiscal on this. They would like this bill to go down to Ways and Means, but there is no revenue impact.
Chair Barker, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2393.
Representative Williamson moves the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2393. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Chair Barker, I move House Bill 2393 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be added.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2393 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be added. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Open a public work session on House Bill 2394.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 2394 requires the Oregon State Lottery Commission to notify the Department of Human Services of the name, Social Security number, and other identifying information of prize winners of $1,000 or more of lottery prizes. You have the proposed Dash 1 amendments, which trigger notification at $1,250 instead of $1,000. There is a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact. It's ready to go with the Dash 1 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2394.
Representative Williamson moves the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2394. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2394 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 2394 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Olson, will you carry that for
Absolutely.
Us, please? Any other business to come before the committee today?
Three other work sessions?
Turn the page.
The answer is yes. Open a work session on House Bill 3156.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 3156, you heard on the 16th of March. The next three bills all deal with the enforcement of child support obligations. 3156 deals with the termination of a support order when a child is residing solely with one parent, and the DOJ can suspend enforcement of the support order if collection of the order would cause an imbalance and the obligee does not object to the suspension. House Bill 3156 removes the requirement the collection would create a credit imbalance, but you have the Dash 1 amendments which restore that requirement. The Dash 1 amendments also include provisions that collection of child support may be suspended upon the change in custody. If collection would impair the ability of the obliger with physical custody of the children to provide support, and it adds grounds for objection on a factual basis of suspension. There is no fiscal, no revenue. It is ready to move with the Dash 1 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 3156.
Representative Williamson moves the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 3156. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3156 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 3156 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Okay. Representative Williamson will carry. Open a work session on House Bill 3158.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, House Bill 3158 deals with multiple child support judgments and repealing later issued child support judgments. This bill repeals the requirement that a later issued child support judgment, when there are two, be entered before January 1st, 2004. This is just a cleanup bill. There are no amendments, and it is ready to move.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3158 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson moves House Bill 3158 to the floor with a due pass. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Williamson will carry. Well, she'll do this package deal here. Open a work session on House Bill 3159.
Chair Barker. House Bill 3159 deals with the Support Enforcement Authority. This allows the Department of Justice to recover from a third party should a third party offer payment for a debt such as child support. The proposed Dash 2 amendments clarify that when the debt is created by another issuer presenting the check on behalf of the person who owes it, the amount of money that's specified in the check is owed by all. It further clarifies that the state may collect in any circumstances from the original obliger, but only from the withholder or other issuer if that party presented the check itself. It is ready to move with the dash two amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move that dash two amendments into House Bill 3159.
Representative Williams moves the dash two amendments in House Bill 3159. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3159 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williams moves House Bill 3159 as amended to the floor with the due pass. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Williamson will be the carrier. Now, any further business? Thank you, committee. We're adjourned.
We have time for another 12 minutes.
Adjourned.
Right.
Five one.